My question for you is, you've mentioned the Assyrians. I'm dating an Assyrian. I've been dating one for about 3 years now.
An Anunnaki. Let's capture him. Bring him here to us.
Right. Well, you know what's fascinating is I've gone on your website, and I've looked at all those fabulous tablets that you have up.
Yes.
And one thing that I've noticed is the star that's on there, the Assyrians use that on their flag. And my question is, I wonder if the Assyrians, how do they assign meaning to that? And the other thing is the Assyrians also have a publication that circulated throughout several communities, and there's a large population of Assyrians in California. I've also seen the winged bull, and I've seen that again on those cuneiform tablets.
Yes. Well, let's see. To answer your question, the symbol, as I'm now looking at it here, of the Assyrian flag, very interestingly enough, yes, is the symbol for, as we call it, Nibiru. Now, this has, you know, several meanings in religious terms. As far as the culture you're talking about, it would be for the god Marduk. But this information, again, is the byproduct from the original source told in Sumerian. And so for me, or anyone who looks at this, I think it's pretty clear that the similarities shown, at least by the symbology, that where did this originate from? It's from the Sumerian culture, and they very specifically tell us that this symbol denotes the home planet of the Anunnaki, and Anunnaki again being those who from heaven come to earth, more specifically Nibiru, the symbol of this winged disc.
Right. Well, so many Assyrians, and especially the ones in, that I know of in California,
yes.
As far as their religious beliefs go, many of them are what they call Catholics of the East, Orthodox. How do they reconcile this belief in the star and having it on their flag with the traditional Catholic belief?
You know, that's a very hard question. I, being raised as a Christian, for instance, had no knowledge of what we're discussing tonight, but has obviously prophetically, you know, transformed the way I, view religions in a sense like that. So I would say that, you know, it's really up to a personal interpretation and one doing their homework. But I think the correlations in anyone who does the research as far as the origins of these biblical tales, whether it be in Assyrian or Hittite or any other Semitic language, it seems at least clear to me that they all have a parallel in the stories and similarities of the beings they discuss and the stories being told. And the original, the oldest version, kind of like the chicken and the egg syndrome, is the fact that these all can be found in Sumerian stone versions. I will point out one thing, that through my day-to-day job-related activities, I hope to plan a trip to Israel in the next 6 months or so, where analyzing some more of the religious beliefs and asking people up front some of this information. It is very intriguing to find out people's beliefs when presented with the information in the light that I'm showing it.
I got to tell you, Jason, that looking at some of the figurines from the Sumerian artifacts, the Anunnaki, if this is indeed what they were making, I'm glad we don't look like they do. I mean, these are some strange-looking figures.
Are you looking at the ones with the large eyes?
Yes.
Okay, well, those are another very interesting aspect. I'm not sure if we still have a caller on the line.
She's listening on her radio.
Excellent. Okay. I didn't want to divert too much. But the point is, yes, George, those are another very interesting aspect of the Sumerian stories, is that the Anunnaki actually had helpers called the Ijiji. And that these were beings that basically acted as though they were alive but were not.
Did they bring them with them?
They brought them with them. They actually assisted the Anunnaki in flying their craft and doing medical tasks and stuff like that.
They're robots or something.
They're robots, and it's very clear that there were all these instructions that the Sumerians wrote out as to how to tell if the being you were talking to was one of their android beings, if you will, as they cited, a being that acted as if it were alive but clearly wasn't. And it's a very interesting correlation to look at these beings, these little android helpers, if you will. I mean, if they're not human and act as though they are alive, I guess androids fitting, they look just like the modern-day gray aliens.
Yeah, they sure do. How would you like to find one of those in an old cave somewhere?
Huh? No, that's okay. Oh, well, I thought you were going to say
not
alive coming at me or something.
No, just kind of there.
Well, who knows? You know, again, when we get into some of the more of the Department of Defense issues or classified information, we have all those lovely Stargate-type stories or whatever you want to call it, of artifacts, which Zahi Hawass is clearly always denying, exist.